Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're running.
It's the Wednesday after
the Stones. We've come to Clissold Park for, I think we planned a debrief, recovery, but frankly, it's more than the debrief. I've got to download. I've got to tell you everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Because let's face it, we tell the story of my disaster.
Yeah,
I mean, the base camp. We'll come back to it, but this is all about day two, really.
Yeah,
for you,
which
isn't
of course it really did pan out that way. You know, I'm aware that even my story was very much coloured by and connected to your story. Whereas, day two was a whole.
But also, I'll say, just as a preemptive thing, I was aware when I was leaving that although I'd done half the distance of the 100K over 2 days, mentally, spiritually, physically, you're not halfway, because it's like the marathon, so surely it must only intensify during the second day.
I don't know if that's necessarily true,
right?
Because you remember on day one we were talking about that,
right?
That in the marathon, psychologically, you basically got to get as much of it out of the way as possible before you start even addressing the issue,
right?
Martin Yelling was taking, I saw him posting, he took out a bunch of people giving them marathon tips, training for this autumn London Marathon.
Yeah.
And they were by Tower Bridge. And he said, you want to get to Tower Bridge just feeling as easy and fresh as possible because the real race starts after that.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I don't think
ultras were like that.
I like that. Yeah. I think that it all ties in with that basic concept. It's not how quickly you get there, it's how much you slow down. You're basically, you're trying to set up a model from the first step,
yes,
that you can maintain as closely as possible to the last.
Yes,
Weirdly, talking about it just then, and this will be really obtuse, but I've got to get the thought out. It reminds me of card games I love. There's two games, Contract Whist and Hearts.
Right.
You might know Hearts as Black Mariah. And they're both Whist games. So you're playing tricks, and you follow suit, there's trumps, this kind
right.
of stuff.
Yeah.
But in Contract Whist, you're playing to win tricks. You get as many as you can. Or you say how many you're going to get. You try
right.
and get those.
Yeah.
It's target-oriented.
Yeah.
And there's a start and an end point. Hearts has exactly the same basic rules, but it's a completely different game.
Yeah.
You start and end whenever you like. You can play to lose. You can play to win.
Yeah.
It's all about the relationship with the ongoing score sheet.
Right.
And it's a fundamental. It's a different shape.
Yeah.
Now, one of them is an arrow, and the other one is a steady line.
That's one thing, yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of, that's one thing I've come away from last weekend with the totally different mindset that an ultra is. Just that sort of, the patience and practical sort of dogginess and all sorts of things.
Yeah, dogged is the word, isn't it? You said that about me, and I was like, yes, dogged.
Yeah.
It's a good word for it. But going back to what you said, you know, day one to day two, I thought this while I was out there, and it's another cultural reference, but I think it really catches it, so I hope it works for listeners. It was like the last two Avengers films.
Right.
So you see Avengers Endgame, very exciting, absolutely epic. You know, lots of stuff, Thanos, all this stuff. No, sorry, Avengers Infinity War, that's the first one. then Avengers Endgame, it plays out satisfyingly, the story, like you'd expect. But it's a completely different mood. It's emotionally takes its time. It's a kind of quieter, more considered film. It just, it's that classic thing about the future. It's exactly what it was going to be, and yet it's not how you expected it to be at all.
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah. So that was what the second day was like.
Yeah, so yeah. You headed off...
on the evening of the first.
About, you know, it was probably, I don't know, it was sort of mid-evening, but it's about funny. About half eight. You kind of get lost in time and the sun's shining. Because the evening after you left, it ended so fast in a really good way. We'd been watching the sunset for hours.
Yeah.
Because it's such a huge expanse of beautiful view from base camp.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And then
Zombie
went down to the horizon. Like, oh, sunset! And at that moment, those great guys on the finish line, like, they were on the phone to a marshal who was helping in the last guy who was going to come in that day.
Right.
And they encouraged everyone who's there to go to the finish line and cheer them in.
Yeah.
And it was like they planned it, but they can't have done it. It was exactly as the sunset.
Wow.
That this guy came in over the line and everyone's cheering.
What a nice moment. What a nice moment.
Oh, and before that Helen played the recorder, and Michelle and her friend did indeed do their Morris dance.
I saw that. I did see that.
Yeah, I've got another video of that. I'm going to post it. That was a special moment, and it was nice. It was very testament to how nice base camp was as well, because everyone else clapped, and the guys on the finish line said, "Come and do it for the finishers."
Yeah, so the atmosphere was amazing. The atmosphere was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that goes throughout as well. The sense of being well looked after was fantastically well-rounded, wasn't it? Because obviously they made sure that everyone was fed and watered and, you know, knew where they were going and all those kind of... their tents were up.
Yeah.
But also, there's a kind of... It wasn't... It's not so much like a party, because you might not need that. You might be sort of calm or tired or whatever. But it is like a family, like a communal event.
Yes, yeah.
Everyone you met and talked to you like an old friend, you know.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Lovely energy. Anyway, so then I said, we ought to go to bed. There were conversations about getting up in the morning. And then the sunset, and then everyone went to bed.
Yeah.
Just after 9.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is, you know, not
very early.
Too soon.
Yeah, but
in
great.
Real life, it's early too. Anyway, and they'd, because of the heat, they said... They extended the window in the morning. You were supposed to, before we got there, it was a runaway between 6 and 7 in the morning, and so that people could beat the heat.
It was 5.
They started from 5. And everyone was like, oh, great. We'll definitely do that. And as I lay down in my tent, I heard a woman talking to her mates through the tents just behind me. And she said, 4. So I set my alarm for 4. And they were like, yeah. And I was like,
wow.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's
it then. That's when I'm getting up.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I knew that was the right thing to do, but I couldn't get my head around it really. And,
yeah, that's early.
Oh, it's a long night.
Did you sleep at all? Did you sleep?
I think
okay?
I did. I didn't feel like I did. I was awake all the time.
Right.
And then you know, you can just, it was so quiet and everyone's on the same page. It's not like being at a festival or something. But on the other hand, it's that ridiculous thing when you're camping. You can hear everything.
Yeah.
People snoring.
Yeah.
I was very hydrated. So I, needed to go to the toilet in the night. When I unzipped my tent, I felt awful. I thought, I'm waking up 36 people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, mooching across the grass thinking, I should be sleeping better than this. I should be sleeping longer than this. But having said that, the view, the nighttime view, oh, with the stars above and the lights from
beautiful.
The towns and the orangey-blue light along the horizon between sunset and dawn, just incredible scenes. Anyway, so I had my alarm set for 5, I think. And but, of course...
Having a lie-in.
Everyone woke up at 4.
Yeah.
And, I was sort of going, I'll wait a little bit longer. Really laughing at myself, having a, inverted commas, lie-in to about... You know, but I was still packing my stuff away in my rucksack by 4:45. And... up and out. Some of our friends, sure enough, were on the start line at 5. Off they went. And then,
good idea.
And then the sun rose.
Yes,
Just madness. And it was really, I got it. And it's funny how I hadn't considered I think on the one hand, I hadn't considered what it would mean going out early, and particularly the pressure of the heat.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I wasn't that bothered about the heat. I wanted to be sensible about it, but it wasn't giving me the fear.
Well, you've done it the first day, haven't you? So.
Yeah, and I just hadn't imagined anything else. I know it was really hot, and I know that running in the heat is really tough, but also, I think maybe just, I don't know, pessimism. Heading to the Race of the Stones, I expected it to be in the beating heat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like, oh no, it's like this. It's like, of course it's like this. You know? Technically it's the same, but it wasn't a surprise. Anyway, between sorting myself out and everything, I couldn't get away as fast as everyone else. So all the people we know were gradually going. And I was like, I still need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, of course.
I should have packed my rucksack.
Yeah.
And I had a massive breakfast.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You were there, weren't you, when I had dinner?
Yes, yeah.
I really
which was a lot.
Yeah, I really found my way with, because as I was saying, I'm terrible at eating on the hoof. And I find a way and nibble here and there because you need to. But there's very little that I'm happy to have passing my lips while I'm out there on the trail.
Yes, yeah.
So once I got my eating mojo back, and of course the food there was great.
The food there was
great,
yes.
It's all vegan. I basically had three dinners. One plate of pasta with some other stuff on it, and another plate of, I don't know, something else, chips and things, and then an extra pasta.
Yeah, there was a big chomp down, wasn't it, at the end of day one? It was lovely. Yeah.
And I sort of had a little wobble. I thought, is this going to sit right? Because my instinct, I just went up to the thing in the morning. And as I say, in the morning, I literally mean, what was it, 5:15?
Right.
And there was sausages, beans, hash browns, mashed potato, mushrooms. I didn't have a roll.
Right.
But basically, I stacked the rest of all those things on my plate and gobbled them up. It was great. So, and I think...
And it didn't feel heavy to run on?
No, not at all. And I really felt... It's quite pleasing, my fueling in the final week. But I think my fueling at base camp was optimal for day two. And the nice thing is I've been eating that much ever since.
Yeah.
I think I will continue to do so.
Yeah, for the rest of your life, yeah. Yeah.
That's not ideal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Yeah, I got away... Oh, and I saw... Nick from Threshold right on the line, and that was nice. He was there along the way.
He's a nice fellow.
We saw him at the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah, he's a really nice fellow.
We also saw him at the end. But, they said, it's 6:30, and we stopped letting people go at 7:00, so you should probably head to the finish. I was at my tent kind of panicking, going, I'm still putting my plasters on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That would have been,
everyone had gone.
That would have been ironic if you just missed it. Yeah.
So, but as it was, so I was sort of panicking about being late for 6:30.
Right.
And I'd sort of been thinking, oh, maybe I'll try and leave early than 6:30. I left at 6:35.
That's great, yeah.
And set off down the hill there.
So you were sort of on your own when you set off? Sort of
oh, totally, yeah.
Right.
And
one of the last to leave?
I don't think so.
Right.
It just felt like that because of the stress of it, you know.
Okay. But
I think that maybe unusually, I don't know, last person expecting to finish it as soon as possible to leave.
Yeah.
When I did. Do you know what I mean? Because I'd essentially, in the wider perspective, squandered an hour there, but I left as early as I could.
Yeah.
And also, I skirted over it, but that includes going to the toilet, which is fantastically key.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, highly necessary.
I had my two cups of coffee, and I had 10 minutes in the port-a-loo, and that's
important. Yeah.
Anyway, so I was quite concerned that the bad night's sleep would leave me feeling bad and I'd, you know, tire.
Right.
But I knew that it was kind of notional. I felt... nice in the morning, felt refreshed, normal. Look at the deer.
Yeah.
They're lovely. And I knew, and I, another thing about that was I'd...
I'm going to have to go, actually.
You know, we were saying, you said to me when we were recording at the beginning, you said, oh, and you're recording your other podcast.
Yeah.
And I did, I went along and I listened to all the songs from my special Dad Race of Stones playlist for the Running Chats Radio Hour, and I was going to record it later on the run.
Right.
And in the end, it was too tough. I was too tired.
Right.
I went to talk. If you listeners, carefully, listeners can hear my voice being all, no. When you come in, I'm like, oh, yeah, what happened next? My voice is all kind of beleaguered. And I could just feel on Sunday morning that I was... that I'd recharge my batteries, you know.
That sounds great.
Just seems like a nice natural break.
Yeah.
So that was a steady trot on soft surfaces once around Clissold Park. How are you feeling?
I feel like I sort of half ran here.
Right.
So I'm sort of...
I thought you might have done.
Yeah, yeah, my legs don't feel that. But I mean, that's the one thing I can take away from it, really, is that I was, you know, I've been struggling with injuries. Nothing exacerbated my injuries. If anything, I feel a little bit stronger.
It was the potential to be stronger. Machine rather than the injuries that were the issue on the day.
It was the overall machine. It was my complete lack of training.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. It was my lack of organisation. It was loads of stuff. It was who I am. It was everything. But listen, let's get back to you.
You often talk about things being confrontational. But it wasn't confrontational because it was kind of lovely. But you are face to face with who you are, aren't you, when you do something like that?
Well, every aspect of it. Yeah. It's sort of like, I think we mentioned it on the day, but it's really good to be... to be humbled like that,
yeah.
And to get told that all this stuff you create about, I'm not really into the gear and blah de blah de, and all this, it's just there to help you.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, water, you know, taking water, loads of water with you is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that you're going to get really tired and thirsty.
Yeah, and need
water. And even walking is just like, I'd always associated walking with a state of sort of passive surrender, because I'd never walked during any marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's obviously a crucial part of the ultra experience.
That's right. And of course, there are also people there who are not planning to run at any point.
Yes.
They're going to walk hard and walk all day.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Which, of course, is massive. That's a huge achievement.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know,
it's amazing.
This is not a stroll. They're just, it's that energy. They're just different ways of surmounting the same mountain.
The same distance, I learned that sort of. There's obviously grades to walking. It's a graded experience.
Yeah.
And
by
the end I was walking really
slowly. Yeah.
And people who were walking were just walking past me. And it was like, again, it's all good. It's all good. So it's great that you felt a level of refreshment.
I did,
and a restart for the second day.
The base camp, I thought right from the moment when it was terrifying, the thought of going on, I still thought those colourful flags down across the grassy field. It's still quite a lovely invitation.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I set off down there. And then with all that shenanigans about logistics and early starts, because the moment I was running, really did appreciate the early start, because you're in the country. There's a solitude to it. In fact, there was a couple of things on day two, which it was really helpful all those months ago, having Emily's report on what the race Hurstone was like.
Right.
Do you remember that? Because some of the things she said, she basically presented stuff that she kind of wasn't necessarily prepared for on day two. And because I knew them from her report, I was like, oh, yeah, this is this.
Yes,
which gave it a completely different... That, for example, that end game energy. The fact it's just a quieter day.
Yes,
set off into this silent dawn.
Yes.
And everyone who is there, particularly as, of course, everyone who set off running had left an hour ago
when
I left. So I'm just passing people who are walking.
Yeah.
And they're expecting to walk another 30 miles, you know?
Yes,
so everyone says, morning.
Yeah,
but
that's all
you say, morning.
Yeah.
And then
you're
running along, and honestly, I didn't use music because it was just too... It was so still and quiet, it just felt inappropriate, you know?
Right, okay,
and it was so still and cool. The temperature was fantastic. And then... beautiful going along. There was skylarks left, right and centre singing away in the sky. It was really something, the dawn. And there was a beauty to it, which I think is not, it's not a side order. It's a key thing, certainly for me, this sense that every moment you think it's this is a really long way, is a moment you're thinking, this is a journey through a huge and incredibly beautiful space.
Yes.
In the same way you think, today is a very high temperature, you have to think at the same moment, today is the most beautiful summer's day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a decision to, well, it's more of a decision to think of it as a positive than a negative, but the spin you put on it is the spin you put on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was cruising along in this slightly cool dawn, just thinking, well, this is nice. I'd like to do this.
Yeah.
And then I recorded my podcast and listened to those songs I'd chosen for the pilgrimage again. And it was lovely, really nice to do. But it was a funny balance because it was properly emotionally. And, you know, I was going back to the song that made me cry the day before and all the stuff about Dad. But equally, it's work. See how I do my podcast?
Yes. Yeah. So know. It takes you out a bit. It takes you out of it a bit.
And, yeah, so that first bit. And, of course, the pit stops are so important because that's how you chunk it down, isn't it? And, again, every negative on the second day was something all our lovely friends had warned us about. So someone, I can't remember, it was the other day, so apologies for not remembering it was, but someone said, watch out for this, and posted a map. And the first checkpoint on the second day, checkpoint five,
yeah,
you have to, you turn left and yeah, run, probably nearly half a kilometre, and then back again to get back to the route.
Yeah.
It's a there and back detour. And again, because I knew it was coming, I was like, oh, yeah, this is this. It really helps a lot. But that was quite a tough bit because it was one of those, it was completely grassy and then underneath the grass, rutted.
Yes,
and
yeah.
And there's people walking and running in both directions. So it was surprisingly, particularly after all that incredible solitude and stillness.
Suddenly a bit busy.
A bit of a dance. Anyway, guess what I did?
I fell over. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, straight down. And I was so me, because I was basically talking my way out of it almost before I hit the ground.
Right, yeah.
There's people all around me going, oh, you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. Actually, I wanted to fall. I was expecting to fall. Everyone else fell over. I felt like I'd missed out. It didn't hurt.
Yeah,
it's nice down there. It's quite soft. It's like going back to bed for a bit. I wanted someone to say
it's funny
to me,
that
just calm down about it a minute.
It's funny that because most people's reaction is the same, isn't it, when they've fallen over?
Yeah.
Straight back up.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
And, it was nice to get to the base camp and realise that it had truly begun, you know, and just sort of clock that different energy of day two. But the next bit after that, I think that's when it was all set. It was probably the least dramatic and most meaningful passage in terms of what the day was, because there's about a good long sort of 10k stretch, say sort of 60 to 70 kilometers, something like that.
Right.
You get onto this track. It's a really nice traily track, but it's smooth and easy underfoot. It's not dissimilar to the Parkland Walk, but chalky.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also got loads of shade. So as the, obviously it's still early, but even as the world warmed up, we were actually in shade quite a lot of the time. So I'm thinking, well, this is great. But the great thing about that is, of course, none of it ever makes it easy.
Yeah.
You know, so you sit up down and think, well, I can run on this. And then the other voice in your head is, can you though?
Right.
You know what I mean? You've got no sun in your head to say, oh, it's too hot. You've got no hill to walk up. You've just got a good,
just a steady chunk.
You know, and so it was like a gift and a test in one, you know? It's like when the Galadriel...
Because there was no change to it sort of thing.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Like... It kept changing to look at.
Right.
But yeah, no braking. Just run, just step, whatever pace you're going. That's what you're doing for the next little while.
And was there a lot of people around at this stage?
Again, everyone's showing out and everyone's quiet.
Right.
And partly because of the nature of the thing and partly because of when I left, always overtaking walkers.
And did you pass Michelle at this stage?
Not yet, no.
Right, okay.
She did leave. She had left over an hour and a half before me.
Right, yeah.
So, and she was running as well. She's running at a different pace to me, but she was running a lot, so, you know.
Wow.
But I checked in with several other people, and I really found that. I thought, this is it. This is what happens today, and I kind of made the decision to embrace that gift of a eminently runnable 10K rather than thinking about how tired I was. You know
right,
what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Chunking it down. Chunk it, absolutely.
And it's like, this is a gift. You run through this, it's done, on you go. And then there was that weird sense of things that I was dreading, realising that I'd kind of already done them all. I'd already got to it. Oh, that was that. People said that bit would be hard. I'm waiting for this big climb. Oh, of course, I've already done it.
Right.
This kind of thing. But, so that was really nice. And then it got more. It was never... It went more like the latter half of the day before, up into the hills, longer climbs and things, but quite gently at first.
Right.
And over the chalky tops, incredible views. Still getting warmer, but still cool because it was the morning. you know, just chatting with people as you get to them or as they get to you. And here, it was fun to note that once people did chat a bit more on the course, the subject everyone was talking about, and I skipped this when it happened, was the guy, he lost his temper at base camp.
Really?
In the night.
Did he really?
Yeah, he went too far. He obviously kept his anger in too long, and then when it went too much.
What did he lose his temper
over? Everyone's trying to sleep. Everyone's being quiet, but you know, you're here. Some people are snort.
Yeah.
You've got to deal with it. It's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, suddenly, when everyone had been in bed a couple of hours, suddenly this voice, it was really far from where I was camping, this voice went, right, that's it. You can just shut up. I'm going to, your face in. You
wow.
can, off.
Wow.
I'm going to, I was like,
wow.
This voice is from home campus saying, come on, Bimbo.
Wow.
It was fantastic. He just lost it.
What an outlier.
This guy was going to absolutely smash the face in of a snorer. Imagine being a snorer, just waking up thinking, what's happening now?
I wonder whether that was the same guy who said very passively, aggressively, after you, as I overtook him at the 13-kilometre part. When it was obvious I was going a little bit faster than him, and he'd pulled over so I could get past him.
Yeah.
He just looked angry, and he never overtook me, which is rare, because everyone else did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just wonder whether he was at the start of just a really angry couple
of
days.
Well, Queenswood said all those, all those months ago. Okay!
Yeah, he's just like...
It was such a good... You know, when it comes down to it, I was having trouble sleeping and stressing about people snoring and stuff. Bless people snoring, by the way. It's the sweetest thing. I bet people were snoring who never snored. Well, people can be sleeping in tents.
Because you're really, really tired.
Wiped out. And it's such a shared moment. But that drew the sting of it. And then I was talking to these women up on the hill, and they were saying, yeah, don't know who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
But he, you know, he certainly expressed himself.
Wow.
And, of course, one of the people in that conversation will be the guy.
Yes.
If he's smart enough, he knows his identity through my canvas. So, yeah, what an idiot. Really lost his temper, didn't he?
One thing that, it's crazy. One thing that I experienced, and it's not something that I've ever made a big point. I'm used to getting beaten in races by women. I'm used to that on every level.
Of course.
But the amount of just really normal looking women, like, you know, at my age, a bit old, whatever, just sailing past me in the last 10 miles. It was incredible. It was just like really, I would say humbling, but it's not like I expected to outperform anyone, but it's just, it was interesting. Just people who don't look particularly athletic.
Well, I think it ties in with what
But they're strong and dogged and patient.
Ties in with what I was just saying about the older, that guy, you know, the angry guy, and then other conversations people were having on the route were about kind of Nick Kyrgios and stuff. And a bit like that conversation we were having about ergonomics and the usefulness of equipment, is that there's women out there who are all over this quest.
Yeah.
And they're not making a fuss about it.
Yeah.
They're going, look at me, I'm doing this.
Yes,
It's a very masculine way of expressing yourself, isn't it? I'm doing it.
Yes,
I'm
achieving
it.
A bit more,
I am too.
Demonstrative, yeah. It was just interesting the amount of, just unathletic people who obviously were way stronger than I was. It was really interesting. And just really chatty and friendly as well. The people were incredible on the course.
Yeah. Well, that was the real similarity between day one and day two. The constant, gently changing pastoral nature of the course, but also going to a slightly more... It goes to a slightly more... You get to some towns and things in the middle. It kind of makes it interesting.
Right.
And then it definitely feels like the geography of the second half slightly echoes the challenge. So you're somewhere a little bit bigger and a bit more like... You know, it's not like you're going to the mountains, but it's a bit like going to the mountains, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your last 10K. I know it was mainly super tough just because it was super tough, but where it was...
Yeah.
...was kind of suited it.
Yeah.
And the second half is like that too. So get after that kind of real chunk down, you know, getting the head down, running the second leg. And I think it was around then that I thought to myself, I felt bad because, you know, you said you were laughing at yourself thinking you might actually get better. You might, the first day would be training.
Yes, yeah.
The second day you'd have it, you know. Well, I think to some extent... Certainly, but in a very much in a spiritual, psychological sense, that's exactly how it went for me.
Good.
Because the first day was wild. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
There's the start and worrying about it. There's me and you. There's us going fast. There's how difficult it is. You know, thinking, walking, I'm running. I don't know what to eat. You know, just generally, it was a lot.
Yes, yeah. A lot of new stuff, yeah.
I was basically like the opposite of that. My whole, and it was very much myself rather than my body, my you know, persona.
Yeah.
It was like, so this is the task. This is the task at hand. And then whenever anything was sort of difficult, I thought, well, of course.
Yeah.
That's what we're here doing, you know. I was very sanguine about the whole thing, very steady, very relaxed. And, you know, just kind of cruising through it, really, emotionally.
You must have been tired.
Not so in notice. No, not like, I didn't feel like I'd run. I didn't have any sense of feeling tired because I'd run the day before.
Right.
And when I felt physically, you know, physically taxed, one, it was quite late on.
Right.
And two, I'd kind of be surprised at first.
Right.
And then go, oh yeah, I suppose I would be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I really kind of kept it, in terms of it being something that would shake my faith in the whole endeavour, I really kept it at bay. Whereas the day before, it was like, oh my goodness, this is difficult.
Yeah.
So I got to...
So we come down to the thing of, like, if you're physically prepared, it's a mental state, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you have to be physically prepared to do that. You can't...
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You can't slam also, a mental state on no preparation.
Certainly, in my case, I'm sure this is true for everyone, but in very different ways. But maybe my kind of extreme model is useful to other people, is that it's this kind of logical bolting together of knowing what it is and what you need to do, like in a proper, sensible, trained and planned way.
Yeah.
Against your deepest, truest self. Do you know what I mean? So what I
doing
think
it your
of
way
it
sort
is
of.
Just as important. And that really ties in with the way it's run. That's why it's so important that people aren't just technically looking after you, they're also being friendly towards you.
Yeah.
You know, it's about your heart and your head, you know, or your body and your soul. You've got to make your peace with it.
Alignment, yes.
I think also another thing is really worth mentioning. I think it's more common to take it on as a major physical, you know, to expect yourself to kind of break on the wheel of it and take that on bravely and face it down. And I don't think I work that way. I think I'm more of a defensive fighter than that. I think that's karate and I was judo. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, I'm gonna soak this up.
Right.
And make as little fuss as possible, even within myself, you know?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I planned from quite early on. I thought I'm going to reset. I'm going to get to the halfway, the second pit stop.
75K sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, my wife will be up by then. I'll be able to check in with her. I'm going to read you my sun cream. I'll start listening to music. I'll save music until then. And then before that, there was some quite... It got into... Yeah, we saw sort of... It got onto a road.
Right.
It's like, wow, houses. And of course, the day was starting. So, because it had been so... Like, we were the only people in the world until then, you know? Everyone else in the world is just asleep. It's Sunday morning, for goodness sake, in the middle of the countryside. Anyway, so just coming up to pit stop, I want to say six. Yes, yeah, six. Halfway point.
Yeah.
And I saw Michelle.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
We just got into the pit stop at the same point. Really nice to check in, but also just so... A reminder, like you say, of what we're up to, because it wasn't like we had much time to kind of chat and banter. We saw,
yeah.
We just did what we needed to do and moved on, you know. But it was a lovely, unusual little pit stop there. It was kind of behind a fence next to a road. I don't know what it is the rest of the time. It's like they built it right for that purpose, you know. But I sorted my life out, put my cream on, drank a Coca-Cola, and headed off up the road. Put the music on, and honestly, I just embraced that. The reset just really worked, and it's quite tough after there. Again, that's the second thing that Emily had said about. There's a bit where suddenly you're on roads, and then you go off a road into a field, and you have to climb back up, and then all the while you're doing a really long climb, you know.
Yeah.
But I was ready for it because I was primed, and the music was so fresh to my slightly tired ears listening to my playlist, and I don't want to plug too hard here, but I've been listening in training and running to the playlist I've made doing my Running Tracks Radio Hour. And those songs are great.
Good. Yeah.
If I wasn't me, I would be listening to that. I put the blooming music on, and guess what was on first?
Go on, then.
Bam, bam, dun, 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 bam, bam, dun, 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 dun. Power of love.
Right.
Curious things. Yeah! Come on! Yeah. High-fiving Michelle. See you later! Look at my man cry. I've got my cap on then to protect my brain stem. And went off up the hill and I felt great. Walking the hills, of course, and running down the other side. And I got on the top there. Oh, it's so stunning up there. And near, like, this is when I thought, well, I'm pretty tired now. But I thought, of course you are. And when I ran, and I remembered that learning from the day before, that is, never be scared to start running again. It's not going to be as bad as you think. And I always walked the uphills.
And then just started.
Whenever it was an uphill, I ran again. And I developed a kind of more of a terror of not running
excessive
when
walking.
I could be.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
excessive
yeah.
walking, because I wanted to finish.
Yeah.
And, I got to the top of that climb that came out of the halfway stage, up the road, through the field, across the road, up the hill, left, and then up more of a hill. And it's this grassy thing, so I'm cruising right along the top of the ridge there. Absolutely beautiful. Strung out, you know, only seeing a person or a group of people every now and again. And my kind of mantra for the day came to me. It's Barack Obama doing his basketball.
Yeah.
Do you remember what he says?
What did he say?
This is what we do.
Right.
They go, way! And he goes, this is what we do. And when I said we, I kind of meant me.
Yeah.
Like me and my feet.
This is what me
this
do.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
And I ran on. And that was it, really. You know what I mean? Because I was there. I was there then.
Yeah.
I know I wasn't. I had another 25 kilometres to go. But that was it. You know,
the reboot works.
I'd made my
peace
with the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I also was really using music. That was the This Is What We Do was just after Layla.
Yeah.
And then the path was really gorgeous. I got into this bit where I went down through some woods. And then I started going downhill on this quite tough surface. And my thighs went... Oh, really, like, aching. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, my thighs seem to be tired. But, you know, pleasantly surprised, ran on. And Shenzhou, which is from the film Gravity,
yeah,
of running music, my son recommended to me, came on. And it's like, oh, bud, that's great. It's nice to hear this. And then it opens up, and it's like the whole last act of Gravity done in music, you know.
Right.
And it's got this oral treat where it opens up as if you're looking out the window and you can see the earth spread below. And oh, I cried. Right. And a massive cry, just like the one the day before. Just
nice,
completely
nice.
Took me by surprise. No idea it was coming. And suddenly I'm doing this kind of grimacy faced, this is a surprise weep as I ran down through the woods. And it was good. And it was more, I kind of...
This is what we do.
This is what we do. But the music kept it going. So it was more, I was able to kind of stay with it, really. It wasn't just the second, it was the rest of the song.
Yeah.
And I knew it was... coming from a good place emotionally.
Yeah.
I think facially it probably didn't come from a very good place.
What a moment.
Rob, oh, poor Rob, his heart is in this. He's really feeling it. He looks like a gargoyle, doesn't he? Lone comedian.
Seems to be smiling and crying. Simultaneously, Herbert. This is what he does.
Apparently it's what he does. A lot of people, every time I see people, oh, still smiling, well done, keep smiling. Yes. That is what I do.
Yeah.
That is what I do. it's less notable for me, though, so. But I appreciate the support. And, it got sort of slightly tougher. You go through a lovely little town, so quiet, but people have put signs outside their houses. More like a village than a town, saying, shut up! Drinks and
nice.
You can just take. And
nice,
you've
nice.
Got this. And
yeah, that's really,
really
kind.
Nice. And keyed in with a few other people, finally getting to a point around this stage where the other people I saw became, in our quiet, strung out way, they became the people I was going to be finishing around the same time as.
Right, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, I mean, for the first time, really.
Yeah.
Partly because of the nature of my run and partly because of my late start.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice couple who, when we were going through that village, I chatted, I said hello to both of them, and then I chatted with
I'm going to have to walk from here, I've got done that because I ran here. Sort of
And then it gets quite tough. You kind of, once you come out of that place, was that guy who looked a bit like Paul Weller? Me and
oh,
him
yeah.
were walking up out of the village, and I yeah. checked in with him. We walked, but I was, what you said about walking slower and slower. When I walked, I never wasn't walking like this.
Right.
Which is, you know.
Rob's walking faster.
Serious.
Yeah.
It's a walk. The thing I was most scared of was it taking any longer than it had to.
Right.
But
okay.
That's a pretty good, that's a useful fear, shall we say. So that was a bit like, not as bad, but that first massive hill that went on out of the town.
Yeah.
On day one. It was like that. You kind of went up this track.
The hill
and then you
of
went
doom for me.
Onto
yeah.
the side of the... And it was... there was no morning anymore. It was like this.
Yes, you're in. You're in it.
Sun
yeah.
on the grass. And you went into a field, and the field climbed gently up, and it climbed up again. And it was all... Not steep hills, but just really long hills.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is it. This is where... one could say, I'm really hot, this is really hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you can just carry on doing
just
it.
Just do
know?
It, yeah, just keep on.
And I
yeah.
did the latter. I mean, obviously, that's not a decision everyone can make. But I did it, and I was strict. There's one really long grassy sward up there. And I just realised how important it was that I ran the flat bit.
Right, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's only about probably 100 metres, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I was
yeah.
running slow. It's just keeping the memory that the walking is not because this is hard.
But at that stage, you're living in a world of symbols, aren't you?
Yeah,
that you
yeah.
set yourself. Do you know
exactly,
what I mean? You create your own structure of meaning within the thing, and it's important for you to do that run there.
Exactly.
Even if it's tokenistic, it's just a sign, isn't yeah. it?
And yeah. that's completely exactly. And you saying that really brings it home to me because I just found I was just using everything. The right way.
You know?
I was using the heat as an encouragement to get me to the end. I was using the fact that you walk up the hills and the encouragement to start running again. The music was absolutely... I was thinking, this music is amazing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went up there listening to... It was all turn of the 90s indie rock. So I had One to Another by the Charlatans. Yegadon, dang, 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 dang. I mean, that's keep going music. And then there's a Resurrection by the Stone Roses.
Yeah,
and I just... I was so happy.
Yes, yeah,
it was a
great.
Joyous experience. And then almost before I knew it, well, not before I knew it, but the thing was, and it's Jim in particular. Jim was one of our running commentary friends who we very much hooked up with on Saturday night, and he's good because he's done it before and he knows his stuff and he's got all the info. He's got not the gradient ratio. What do you call the graph of the ascents? Anyway. The graph of where the hills are.
Yeah.
And he said, and someone else said, that's true, that you set off and then after a while there's a lot of climbing and then a really serious downhill.
Right.
And And that was true. But when I did it, I kind of got too into the last thing. So I thought, oh, that big serious uphill and downhill will be coming up. And I thought, I've already done it. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah, brilliant.
I've just been up and down it.
Yeah.
I mean, not like it was easy. It was just that it was real. It was fun. Yeah. It wasn't some mythical nightmare that was never going to come, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was great stuff. And the lovely moment, which I wanted to tell you about, came into pit stop 7. And I thought, I'm feeling good. You know, everything, not only do I feel good, but I feel steady. I feel like I've made decisions this morning, which are still abiding.
Yes.
I am still smiling.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Yes, yeah.
But, and then there was a little different thing which completely lifted all that. What I'd forgotten, you know, Pit Stop 7.
Go on then.
We've been there.
Right.
That's where we were. So the moment I got there, I was like, this is what we did.
Yeah, this is what we did.
Me and Paul went there and ran to Avebury and back. So I was saying, that was a long run. It's like, that long run you did that day, that was twice what you've got left.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. It says at that pit stop, and everyone was, and it's at the top of a hill. It's a beautiful place. Everyone's nice. I've really got my sense now of stopping and not stopping. You know, stopping for a bit, doing a couple of things, but not losing your momentum.
Yes,
it's like being a tennis player, isn't it?
Moving through it, yes.
Sit down, have a couple of mouthfuls of banana, you're still going to be serving again.
Yeah, shout at your coach.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that sounds great. Was there an atmosphere of sort of semi-celebration then that it's almost done, or is it still, for some people, this I can't do this last bit? Or is everyone having different experiences?
I didn't get anyone really suffering,
right.
But I think that people more, small talk-wise, there's a lot of talk about the... You know, people saying, oh, I could do with some new legs or it's hot, isn't it? And I was a bit more, I was just bullishly up. You know what I mean? I was like, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And I by this time my thighs were hurting and I got blisters on where you do it with shoelaces.
Right.
And they were hurting, but not in an incapacitating way. And it was so nice that we've been there before. I think it's 5 years since we went there. But of course, I roughly remember the run, which makes it so much more.
Yeah, it's just like doable.
Yeah, doable, you know. And, I mean, we ran all the way and I knew this time I'd be walking some of it.
Yes.
come on. Yeah. And and I knew it was beautiful and it was nice. It invoked you at a really important moment, you know. And then off we went. And the Back to the Future energy continued. There was a sign there saying 11.9K from here. So you're like, oh, I can do that. But then I was also telling myself, stop, count it off. You know, you can try and break it down. It's always going to seem like a long way, no matter how small you try and make it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So I stopped trying to think about that. Tried to enjoy where I was and listen to the music and... You know, because you're going to go back to thinking, oh, three more, and then, oh, it's a two-part, you know.
This. Yeah.
Because it's far, and by then it was hot.
It's like time. It's like distance changes when you're in that situation, isn't it? Like 2 kilometres can seem like ages.
Yeah, you can tell yourself that 12K is not far, but it's not nothing.
No, absolutely.
It's not nothing if we
7 miles.
Exactly.
It's 7, you know, it's,
So we went through Barbary Castle. You remember Barbary Castle, which is real proper?
Yeah.
And I thought of you, and it was funny because there's lots of people there then, that opposite of the early morning. There's families, you know, and run through, and there was the 88K sign, which I thought, if I go past that too slow, I'll end up in the 50s trying to. It's Back to the Future comedy going on for me there. And anyway, I ran down the other side. It's pretty steep. It's quite an awkward run down. And someone said, look at you still running.
And I
said, I probably came off a bit grumpy, but I didn't mean to.
Your mum. Yeah.
I just said, get there quicker if you run.
Yeah.
It's like, that is it. That came from the heart. This is why I'm running down the hill.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then. From then on, it became the strictness of keeping running, you know. And again, it wasn't ever really in doubt. I was being very strict.
You're in the end game, though. You're in the end days of it all.
And it was quite, for better or worse, in fact, for better and worse, you get back on that proper rutted ridgeway surface where you've got to kind of choose your path all the time.
Yes, yeah.
Quite challenging.
It was a little bit technical, wasn't it, at times?
And but, of course, also a great distraction. So just both at once, you know.
Yeah.
And... getting up there, and again, I suppose I hadn't thought about this till now. Everyone's running more similar pace to me now.
Yeah.
So you're coming along on people. Still, obviously, you're going to see more people you're going faster than because that's what happens. The people behind you are behind you. You know what I mean?
Or at
the same speed, you don't catch up with them. But I'm going up hills and then getting to the flat tops and thinking, it's time to run again. And there's always someone ahead doing that as well. So you can kind of key off, think, well, they started running again, so I'm going to start running again when I get to where they are.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's
yeah,
a nice
yeah.
group of people doing that, and they were running and then walking, running, walking. But with groups of people, obviously, you tend to come past them because there'll be something to slow them down, like yeah. one person or a thing. So, and there was this one woman who I think she was just the next person to come in after me. And I'd seen her when she was miles ahead. She was wearing a red top, and I saw her start again right. on a hill. And I just really gradually, from a time when it wasn't as hard as it ended up, was sort of gaining on her along the ridgeway there. And when I passed her on the top, I was like, this is it. This is me. And this that was a... I met her like, oh, well done. But we didn't have a conversation yeah. or exchange names or anything. But I hope that she got what I thought, which is just that... in that last, maybe like at 95K, we were on exactly the same page.
Trying to
keep running, picking our steps, you know. And so if you are listening, sister, yeah, my 95K sister, whoever the hell you are, you might have been imaginary. Anyway, and still listening to music, Style by Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And you get along the top there and then turn right down to Avebury and... Again, forewarned is forearmed. It's brilliantly harsh at the end. And we've been there, of course.
Yeah.
You run into Avery and the sign says it's 3K from here. And from there, you run into the village, you see the stones.
And then you
turn
away.
Back.
Yeah, yeah.
You turn back and run back to where you were. You run into a field, which is really hard underfoot and slightly uphill, and run across that. And then you turn left and then there's the finish and you can see it. But... you know, I was in the end game there. I was there, and I stopped and went in and got a picture with the stones. Walked in, chatted to another guy, took his picture. He took my picture.
Nice.
Came back down to the route proper. Started running again.
Yeah. Nice. It was. Brilliant. What a moment.
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really ever entertained the idea that I'd hit any kind of wall or that it would come crashing down. Mm. I was just more and more amazed at how sanguine I felt. And it did get harder and harder, but not in a way that it even touched my emotions, really. You know what I mean?
Although you did cry, but that was the music and dad's stuff.
Yeah, it was just positive. It was sun stuff, you know?
Right.
And quite early on as well.
Yeah.
There was no suffering.
Yeah. Wow.
That makes it sound like I died.
Yeah.
I didn't suffer.
Yeah.
So it was great, you know? And then... felt good afterwards. It's interesting how I always talk with pride about getting to marathon finishing lines and completely breaking. You know, my legs stiffened up very quickly, but I honestly, at no point during or after, did I feel it anywhere other than my legs.
Well, this is what I sort of said this to you in the text. I wonder whether somewhere through all this, and I don't know how you feel about this, I wonder whether we found out that you're the ultra distance runner and that it suits something in your mentality, an approach to running that sort of systems above results or whatever.
We go this way, this is nice.
Yeah. That might be more fitting with your personality, maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's something in it that you seem to have taken to very easily. Obviously, to say, I'm now just going to do ultras, you're saying, you know, my life is going to be quite difficult. But there's something about it that seems to have struck a chord in your mentality that has been... Has it been at all surprising, or I don't know?
No. Well, the thing about it is that it wasn't surprising because of that nature of the future thing.
Do you
know what I mean? It was totally, you said it yourself on Saturday night, this is what I've been training for since before I decided to do
before
it.
Before you were born.
Yeah. No, it's what I've been training for since...
When you did the two marathons and all that. Three
longer ago.
When
I didn't do the two marathons in lockdown.
Yeah.
Specifically... in grief.
Yeah.
And then wrote my book. You know, look at everything that comes together in it. There's my dad. There's the fact that I became somebody who runs further and runs slower.
Yeah.
And the fact that I recombobulated my charity work.
Yeah.
All in 2020.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the world came back that I thought, oh, I could do the Race of the Stones. So the training is...
It's been coming
for...
A long time.
For 3 years.
Yeah.
And it does... The project... entirely suited my nature, and I got my head around it in a really healthy way.
Yeah.
And with everyone's help as well. It's that fantastic meeting point of doing all the preparation and getting all the anecdotal stuff. You know, the other people's tips and comments have been so useful. I took everything on board.
Yes.
And used it, you know.
Yeah.
And it suited me. And it's like you said, that the word dogged is the word that made me think, yeah, that's it, I was dogged. And
yes.
I think when I talk about being strict with myself, I think people, I don't know, might think I'm being, A, that it's either really leery, or B, that I don't that I'm faking it. But it's not like that. It's like I'm quite good at those kind of mental decisions. You know, yes, like I'm not going to worry about that, or this is not going to be a problem.
Yeah. Something in it suited you, just that kind of, I don't know, a sort of combination of dogginess, practicality.
Yeah. Loving, you know, a map, loving getting the country.
Loving a map.
Genuinely being someone who likes to decide to be positive.
Information, you know what
I mean? Stuff. I never minded the hot weather. It was such a nice day. Yeah. How can you complain in the UK when it's this sunny? You know what I mean? If I'd actually thought, oh, it's going to make me puke now, then sure, I would take that back. No, but in the event, I'm like, I can embrace this. I'm loving this, you know? Yeah.
But you can embrace it because you'd done all the preparation and had all the gear and had all You got me in the other end of the spectrum. It's done one 22-mile run in the last 3 years, during which I ate a few potatoes. And for some reason felt that prepared me.
Didn't take any potatoes.
Didn't take a bladder of water. Didn't take any potatoes.
Fell over. Where you thought these potatoes
were going to come from. Sell over. Set off too fast. I had the vision of baked potatoes at the feeding station.
Well, yeah, it's funny because your marathon training is... You know, you've talked very wisely in the past about how you want to train to the point where the marathon doesn't take you by surprise.
Yeah, it was very intentional. I mean, you know, it's the eternal truth, isn't it? You get the experience that your training deserves.
Yes.
And I mean, really, realistically, I had no right to even do the first day on the training I'd done. I mean, it's just like... And I'm pleased I got away without getting broken by it.
Yeah, but I mean, you feel like your voice in your own head has become the the other dad in Steve Martin's Little League team.
Yeah.
The parenthood, who's played by Ron Howard's brother.
Right.
The one who says, he had no business being out there. No business.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. There was a bit of that. But I'm glad I did it. I met some really nice people. I mean, we've got to give a shout out to Liz who came in.
Oh, gosh. Absolutely.
I mean, what an incredible person. I mean, Liz essentially walked the event, came in at about what time? About six, sort of half six.
Yeah, tea time. We were sitting down, so it was about half six, yeah.
And then just had a quick
meal. Saw us out and said, hi, running commentary. Love running commentary.
Yeah. Really nice. Really nice, courageous person.
Yeah.
Quick meal, sorted out.
We had a bit of a crew there. We were sitting, I'm eating three dinners, everyone's kind of drinking. And all the while we had a sense of Liz and her lovely husband who was kind of
looking after her, crewing her, yeah.
And knowing that she was going to get up and carry on going.
Yes, yeah, so these people who...
Lots of people do that.
They're these people who walked for like 12 hours and then just set off into the night.
Yeah,
I mean, that's courage, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, that's just mental fortitude to do that.
Selfishly, you know? I wondered about... It's quite strange because I think that it's part of the wonder of it is that my own self-making decision process, non-deliberate uniqueness means that even though I was really well prepared, I also stumbled on some of my own naivety from my early years of running.
Right.
Because I'm very much made it my own.
Yeah.
And sorry to make it about me, but it's interesting how I think that lots of people who really think I'm going to run this and do it as quickly as possible go straight through.
Yeah.
And then lots of people who are doing it over 2 days with lots of sense say, I'm getting my walking poles out. This is a fast walk.
Yeah.
That is, you know, and somewhere between those two was me like, well, I'm obviously a weekender. I'm not going off in any particular hurry on Sunday morning, but of course I'm running.
Yeah.
You know, that model is kind of Deering specific, isn't it?
People find their own way with it.
But that's the other crazy thing, because it's so wonderful. It's such a good scene. And it's so, I mean, it's so obscure, really, is it? Imagine the number of people we could meet now at our next 10 gigs. And you could say, I did like an ultra, it's 100K.
Yeah.
You do it over 2 days, and they go,
what?
You did what? Yeah. You know, it's just
it's
this
a
tiny,
very unusual thing to do,
crazy subculture. And yet within that, everyone is so different and has such different power and is doing it for all different reasons. Oh, just a massively different demographics. It's a wonderful,
it's a really nice,
thing.
It's a lovely scene, yeah. But Liz set off into the night and had to retire at 75K with really bad blisters. But
yes.
Just wanted to give a shout out because it was so nice to meet her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Michelle and Helen and just the people we hung around with at base camp. It was lovely, wasn't it? To meet some run-com people
hung out,
and just general people.
And all the people who just said hello. It was really
It was pretty wild, yeah.
It's a sunset I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And I didn't even need Morris dancing to hammer that home, but that certainly helped with that, not forgetting it.
Yeah.
And the comedy guys, all the threshold, we're not just
they were good
blowing
fun,
smoke up the arse of the organisers. It's just, it's wonderful what they
Yeah, they're really as you say, you feel really looked after, but with none of that sort of, maybe it's because of the nature of ultra runners as well. There's none of that slight edge of neurosis, paranoia that you get in like mass marathons. You know, it's just a bit more chilled, isn't it?
There's a general
undercurrent, you know.
I think there's a sense that relaxed. We all know that no one needed to be there.
Everyone decided
on this ridiculousness.
Yes.
And we're going to have a blooming good time. As people, like, just to catch it, if you haven't done this kind of thing, and in the heat. And also, they were kind of good about the heat because they made it clear that it was important and never needed to worry about it without making it a miserable thing.
Yes.
You know, so we're all leaving an hour earlier. They added water stations. And I just thought that because going into the second checkpoint and... I'm really obsessed with getting the checkpoints right. Checkpoint 6.
Yeah.
Going into pit stop 6. The woman there was saying, don't forget to dip your hat in the cold water.
Yeah.
It's just that just sums it up because it's a really good idea and people are genuinely going to think, oh, yeah, I'm going to do
that.
But on the other hand, it's not like saying, do take care because we've taken a government warning that means
yes,
you should...
Yeah, totally.
You know,
totally.
It's so jolly.
There's an adventure element to it, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's what she said to me when I left the pit stop. She said, remember to take your pretzels and no water. It's just so you end up nice and thirsty, but you get your salt.
Yeah, that's only the crazy voices in your head. Do you remember when we set off on Saturday, this is in last week's episode, listeners, Paul saying, I've already transcended time.
Yeah.
But the guys at the finish line did that. Just before Liz came in, when we were all sitting down to dinner, they were like, what is the time? How long have you been out there? And they just shifted into this... basically doing the running commentary on people coming in later on in a comedy way that took away from saying you getting here after anyone else.
Yes, yeah.
So they were playing like free jazz, saying, because what is time?
Yeah,
two guys on the finish line saying, time doesn't exist.
We've been
talking for 5 hours, it seems like 10 years.
They were getting pretty delirious themselves by the way. But they were great.
They were really upbeat. The finish line as well, by the way.
No, they were really good fun. Yeah.
Finish line was beautiful, by the way. The bags were all there ready for us. The bus to the buses, wherever you needed to be. They gave me a T-shirt I could dry myself with because I didn't bring a towel.
Right.
Helen and Matt I saw again at the finish line and they had ice lollies from the ice cream van.
Brilliant.
And I got a pasty. I had a pasty.
Nice.
Oh, it was good.
And then you got on the old shuttle.
Yeah, and this is what I wanted. Massive shout out to my ex-event, as in outside the event crew, Barbara Deering.
Yeah.
She played an absolute blinder, my mum.
Brilliant.
I told you already that on my training runs, you turn up at the end with fizzy water and a towel.
Yeah.
Bought me lunch. She whizzed me to the start line and let me leave my muesli all over her footwell. And then she picked me up. Right, she followed the shuttle bus in. So she just, you know, she drove in.
Bless her.
I kind of rolled from the one vehicle to the other.
Yeah.
And then she got me to the station in time for the next train.
Bless her. What a nice
pure shuttle. And said, oh, what do you want? And there was a bag in the car, little pot of marinated roast vegetables, like artichokes and stuff.
Yeah.
Salty crisps, beer, water,
nice. Great
bananas.
Great mumming.
Top mum work.
Yeah.
Really, absolutely legendary. I don't think she necessarily is a running commentary listener, but nevertheless, thanks, mum.
Well, yeah, and also in the similar vein, got to give a shout out to my wife who came to collect.
Yeah, she went to... Well, that was a relief because I thought if she wasn't around, it was my mum. I was going to say... I was going to say, do you want me to call my mum?
No, she drove. She drove out to pick him up as I sidled off with a full rucksack.
She was funny, though. She was saying it was a nightmare driving here because the sun was in my eyes. Knowing exactly how little that suffering compared to most people at the base
camp. She was funny, yeah.
Now, listen, though, I wanted to address something else you said, and I think we're getting towards the end here, so this is really worth saying, because you said, oh, do you think this is it? You're going to be an ultra runner. You see, who's going to be the ultra runner now? Jules, I said it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I chose those words carefully. I didn't say, I'm only ever doing this once.
Yeah.
But it was, I stand by that, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And Jules online said... once in a lifetime, you know, like as in when's the next one?
Yeah.
And the cliche is you get home, you sign up for another one, don't you?
Mm.
And then Jim, aforementioned Jim, our friend Jim, who was the person who noted and spotted that I'd placed quite highly.
Yes, yeah, 20 seconds. Fantastic. Yeah, out of how many finishes on the 2 day? Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
and,
great. Amazing.
And he's like, oh, he says he doesn't want to do it anymore, you know. And I never said I didn't want to do it anymore. But, guys, you're all projecting your ultra needs onto me. Do you know where I am right now? I'm in this moment. Said I was going to do it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And that is it. Yeah. I have no plans. Not. Yeah. I'm not planning to not do one.
Yeah.
Any
yeah.
more than I'm planning to do one.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Just see how
you know
you
when
feel.
You go yeah. back yeah, to yeah, do yeah. something because you've got unfinished business.
Yeah, yeah, you well, finished the business.
I've got finished business.
Yeah,
you and I'm loving it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You'd have to ask yourself well, how it's much a bit, it's, more finished this business could be, and the answer would be none more.
It's a bit like me post sub three. It's just like,
yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah,
you know and I mean, I don't really feel the desire to run another. To run another marathon as fast as I possibly can.
No, you can't.
Because I've done that. Do you know?
And that was amongst the fact that we're pretty much ongoing marathon guys.
Yeah.
Whereas this is this unique and crazy experience. And as you know, specifically tied in with geography and music and life events.
Yes, emotional.
You know, there is nothing like, I can't sign up for another one. There's no such thing.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no such thing as another one.
That's what, so, I mean, that's the thing about it that I think is true, that if you're going to do these events, especially, I felt like you need a big why.
It's the why.
You obviously need to prepare and train,
yep.
but you need a why. You almost need a why to motivate you to prepare and train, but you need a why on the day
yep.
at those dark moments. And it needs to be a why more than it'll be a laugh.
No,
or,
it all
do you know what I mean? You need some sort of resonance.
Yeah,
you need to join the inner and outer.
It's
do you know what I mean?
Beyond, it connects to mantras and things, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's not just thoughts and rhythms to get you through. It's a fundamental spiritual fuel in the tank.
Absolutely. To fund the whole thing. So the training is part of the day, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. You're like, there's nothing better than lining up, knowing you've done the training to get the most out of this day. And, you know, it's sort of absurd to line it with nothing. It is like you're standing on quicksand.
Absolutely. But then that's great that you did that.
It's just
show
really
us
good
all
fun.
What it means.
Yeah. As a living example of idiocy, a kind of sacrificial fool.
Yeah. But I think also just finding that kind of newness in it, you know, the sense that it was something brand new that I didn't even know I was training for.
Right.
Is so it's so fresh and new, that feeling, you know. So
yeah.
I've been a human long enough now to know that you don't squander that sense of stepping into the unknown. Don't turn the unknown immediately into the known.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still reeling from the unusualness.
Still
of
working
experience.
It out. Yeah, still thinking about it. Yeah.
Running
with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.